You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
You know, Pastor Tom, you kind of remind me of a silverback, now that I think about it.
I think we ought to move along from
Well, folks, I got to tell you something. Before the show gets started, we have fun, and then we have fun while we're doing the show. And poor Pastor Tom, he sits here and he says, "Now, Joe, I know you're a Christian, but you hide it as well as anybody I know." And we have listeners here that don't appreciate your humor. But I have had clients of mine that came from this show, and I said, "You know, I hope Jesus has a good sense of humor." And they said, "Joe, he has to have a good sense of humor to put up with you." Tom, and your comment is?
No comment.
No comment. Now, the only reason I call him Silverback is because if you took a look at this head of his, there's no hair on that head that isn't white. And I'm assuming the hairs on your back are pretty silver.
It used to be a little different until you started a show here, Joe.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Well, folks, number one, this is the Team Martech Hour, and I am Joe Martech. And Joe Martech is a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker, a securities principal, multiple licenses, long time in business, lived here in Stuart since 1984, been in Florida since 1976.
Well, you've seen some changes then.
You know, yeah, you do, but you know, I expect change. Not that I'm happy about it, but I expect it. Mm-hmm. It's like, now this is a subject that has nothing to do with this show, but you know how we're complaining about our river all the time and now the blue-green algae?
Yeah, they're saying it's going to be another lost summer.
Well, and I've lived here since 84, and every single summer we get, you know, rain or storms, and then we get polluted water. And some years we have lots of algae, and some year we have a little bit. I remember it was the editor of the Stuart News, and I'm having a senior moment here, can't remember, but he's been here forever. Before he died, he was back in the 50s. And it was just a given that we're going to have dirty water all summer because of the rain, because of the runoff.
Well, I think it's getting increasingly worse because there's more people using pesticides and nutrients on their lawns and whatnot. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Wait a minute. How much of that is the problem of Okeechobee? Here comes the $64,000 question. The more people you put in any given area, the more problems are created, right?
Right.
So it's pollution, whether it's automobiles driving down the road, whether it's...
Well, don't they even have some ordinances about you can't fertilize at this
today.
Time of the year?
Starting today.
Yeah, we just saw that in the news today.
Today is the day. So literally, and it's a good thing because...
But you shouldn't fertilize in the summertime anyway. It just burns up the grass.
Well, you got all the rain every day, just about, in theory. Mm-hmm. And that's good natural rain with washing out all the chemicals out of the air.
Into our lagoon.
Into the lagoon. But,
yeah, well, you think about all the lawns, and it goes into the ditch. The ditch goes down to the canal, and the canal dumps out in a river.
It all ends up in the river. Yeah.
But we have all these houses along the water, and many of them have septic systems. Now, where does that septic waste go? Eventually, it gets into the water system and into the...
Well, because our water table is very low. You dig a hole any place in Florida, most especially along
the
coast.
Well, where does the sewer system dump?
Ah. Well, that's treated, though.
Yeah, that's treated.
Well, it's treated in the septic tank. Don't they put the...
No, I don't think it's
natural.
No, it is natural. Exactly right. You don't add anything.
It just decomposes on its own, though.
Yeah, but what happens is...
I mean, there's no additional chemicals.
It overflows out of the septic tank. Septic tank fills up
And then it seeps through the ground.
Then it seeps...
But it's just nitrogen.
Uh-huh. Famous last words.
Which would be adding
I don't want to
nutrients
swim
to the water.
Let me just, let me just tell
it's
you
not that. Like the, you know, those chemical names that are 42 long? Letters long.
Have you ever noticed a septic system that overflowed in the yard?
Yes, my aunt had one once.
I mean, I think everybody that's ever owned a septic tank, especially in Florida, because it's so low.
Yeah, and with the amount of rain we get and the high water tables.
Water comes up to within a foot of the surface of the ground, and now you've got the septic tank 6 feet under. Then you've got the pipes coming out of that into water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Well, the guy behind the station here, if you look in the backyard, they had to raise their backyard like 4 foot.
Yeah.
For the septic system.
Right.
So he's got a mound in his backyard. He can't use his backyard because it's a septic system.
And that's the rule. Now, does that make any sense? Absolutely not.
Here, well, why they would even
but they won't let them do it anymore.
Septic systems in a flood zone is beyond me.
Well, here comes the other side of the coin, because here's history. And you buy a piece of property and all this zoning and everything has been in there forever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're changing the rules, and it's a bit of a problem if you own a piece of property for like 20 years and now all of a sudden it's useless, it's worthless. And let's say you paid $100,000 for that property 20 years ago and you've been paying taxes on it every year. Now they say you can't build on it. I mean, there's fair, there's right, there's wrong. The answer to the system is create a sewage system for every single house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only minor side effect, actual cost is somewhere, depending on who you talk to, between $20,000 and $30,000 per house.
Yeah.
Now
they got all these pump stations and 4 sewage out in my area.
So now,
and you got a light that sits out beside the house that lets you know if it's working or not.
We got to go to Tom because he's loaded. And he can.
I've got concrete in the back of the truck.
There you go. So, in his 1967 pickup truck, because he's got so much money. But anyway, all I'm trying to say is that it's not an easy solution, no matter what you do, unless you're rich.
Yeah, but I think the quick solution, and probably the best solution, is to just stop the darn release of the water from the lake.
Okay, now where's it going to go?
Well, there are ways to funnel it south. It just
see what.
There's ways to funnel it south. They just have to pay for the land.
And a good portion of it does funnel south already.
Mm-hmm.
But they have another problem, because
there's people built the homes down there.
Yeah. I mean, there's these constant dams all the way along going the south, and all the way across the bottom of the Everglades is a dam called a road.
Yeah.
And now what they've done is they're now raising the road in spots, but it's man has a way of destroying whatever he can touch. Now, man can put it back together, but Florida is more difficult because now all of a sudden we're the third most populated state. So we keep having people cram into this thing, loading us up, and putting more poop into the septic tank. You know, yeah, so I mean, this is not an easy fix.
And I'm wondering if anyone has done the research. Is all these nutrients going to hurt the Everglades if we funnel that water south?
Here's what happens. If you go down to the Everglades right now, all winter long, it's full. It's a flood problem. The Everglades is full. And that's a big problem, because now we got animals dying. We can't have gorillas dying. We can't have deer dying. We can't have all these animals dying.
Well, we don't have natural gorillas in Florida.
Well, how do you know? Natural gorillas as opposed
native
as
gorillas.
As opposed to unnatural gorillas.
Opposed to unnatural.
I don't think there's any gorillas down in the Everglades.
There may be some baboons. But what I'm trying to say is, this whole system, once they put the dam around Lake Okeechobee, that stopped the system from being natural. Then all the way up the Kissimmee Valley, all the way into Orlando, before there was a ton of people, there were always farms, but there wasn't that many. Now it's a loaded area draining all the way from Osceola County, including all of Orlando, all the way down the Kissimmee River, plus the dairy farms, all dumping into the lake. But they are making some progress. They are diverting a certain portion of it. They are putting it in these monster retention ponds. So it is actually better today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. But you can't convince you or me.
No, I don't believe it.
I know. The other side of the coin is, though, but in the meantime, in the last 20 or 30 years, we've only added 1 million people. You know,
yes.
So we create... Okay,
we added more concrete so that water doesn't seep down into the water tables.
So we put a... What was the song? We paved paradise and put up a parking lot?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, there's some...
And if you've been up to Disney, they've paved most of that.
Yeah, boy. 1-888-221-8990. Okay, now, class, write that number down. This is an important number. 1-888-221-8990. We are not here to talk about our environment, even though we just did. And I'm a nature person, and so is Mike Polis, who's on the show right now. We are monster nature people because we're boaters. We're out on the water every chance we can get. We know what's going on. We're not happy about it. We thank you, Lord, we get to live in Florida and we get to use it. But I look at the fixes, and the fixes are just not easy. Again, if we went back and undid what man has done, which means don't dam up Lake Okeechobee, that would help a lot. However, one good storm and we knock out 100,000 people rather than 5,000, which the last big hurricane did. That's when they decided to dam up Lake Okeechobee. And that was back in the late 20s or early 30s when that one happened. And that there weren't many people living there then.
Yeah, but I don't see any action. Any. There's no solution underway. That's the aggravating part.
There's multiple solutions. None of them work.
Funneling the water south is
a solution.
Well, I think
they've gone beyond the point of a really easy fix.
But do you know, you see, there are three natural channels that go south. They are pumping, they are draining water all the way south to Miami from Lake Okeechobee. There are actually canals that go all the way down, three of them. Now, they can only handle so much water.
Well, they need to drain that down during the winter months when it's a dry season.
Now, remember this last winter? I'm telling you, if you were down in the Everglades, which I was in December, January, the Everglades are full. I mean, full. They were overflowing the roads. They had a major problem.
Well, we did have a very wet winter.
That's exactly.
Because of the El Nino. But that doesn't happen every year.
No, but the other side of the coin is, again, they don't have a good drainage system. Back to Mother Nature again. If we got rid of the roads, got rid of the people, all of a sudden. Hey, Mike, you may have to move to Philadelphia.
I've been there.
I know.
I don't want to go back.
All right, class, so here we go. Team Martech is made up of local professionals, and the local professionals include Mike Polis, mortgage broker, who's sitting here right now, who I've got some questions for. In fact, before I tell you about the rest of the group, which includes Greg Fasulo, attorney, Vince Rosino, CPA, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Joe Martech, financial advisor,
and Dan?
Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Pastor Tom, we don't know what he does, but... Anyway, the concept of our group very simply is to help people with these different areas, and we have put this group together since 04, or maybe before that. Greg and I figure about 20 years now. But the concept was, I'm a financial advisor, and there's no way I can answer the questions for everybody. So to me, in order to be a credible professional, you have to surround yourself with other credible professionals that can handle most of the problems that come up with people's livelihood. So now I'm leaning on Mike Polis because he's sitting here because nobody else is sitting here. So who can I pick on except Pastor Tom?
Well, as you can realize, I'm not very well versed in the environment. So I don't know all the fixes about that. But I do know a little bit about mortgages, and I think I can help some people.
That's where I was going. So, you know, now I'm listening to the tube and whatever else I'm listening to, and lo and behold, they have 3% down mortgages. Have you heard of such a thing?
Yes, I have. And also, we have 100% financing, which requires no down payment.
I know, but they're making such a revelation on the tube about these new 3% down mortgages.
Yeah, well, these programs have been around for a long, long time.
I know.
And, you know, they did go away for a brief time during the deep throes of the recession. But they came back, and we used them. And, you know, they are very good programs. There's two 3% down conventional programs. One is specifically geared towards first-time homebuyers.
Right.
And there's income limitations, much like the program that we discuss all the time, the USDA program.
Right.
So they're not meant for high-income earner programs. It's meant to get people into their first home. One of the benefits is the PMI requirements are reduced. So
now PMI, you need to explain, because you and I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I thought there was air pressure in a tire.
No, that's PSI.
Okay, close.
PMI is private mortgage insurance. When you're getting a conventional loan and you're putting less than 20% down, most lenders will require you to purchase private mortgage insurance. And it's not an insurance that protects the consumer at all. it protects the lender right. in case you default on the loan. So what happens is, if you default on the loan, the property goes into foreclosure, the PMI company steps up and they pay the first 25 or 35% of the top of the loan. So that's how PMI works. And the less you put down on a property, the higher the PMI premium is, because it's a greater risk to the PMI company. So for example, if you only put 5% down on a conventional loan, your PMI might be a full percent a year, where if you put 15% down, that could be, you know, as little as three eighths of a percent. So it depends on how much you're going to put down will determine your premium. But this 3% down program, what they do is, instead of the required 35% coverage, they require only maybe 20% coverage or 15% coverage.
So your PMI costs less.
Yeah, so that reduces your PMI expense.
Okay, good.
Yep.
So it's like you said, not a brand new program, but they're making it sound like it's a new program because some major lenders are coming up and they're pushing it.
No, what they did is they just recently revamped that program.
The FHA?
3%. No, it's a conventional program.
Okay, conventional.
Right, so Fannie Mae
buys it.
Yeah, Fannie Mae is the ultimate investor who buys all these loans. So they came in, they revamped it, called it a new name. And actually, it was a little bit more attractive before they revamped it.
Okay.
So, yeah, because in last year, the 3% down program only required like 10 or 15% coverage. So they increased the coverage. But it's not as bad as if you were doing a standard 3% down, because that would require 35% coverage for PMI.
Gotcha.
And that would increase your PMI premium per month, you know, pretty significantly.
Now, on the other hand, folks, reason I was picking on Mike is that I listen to the Tube no different than the rest of us, or watch it and read, and then when they make these announcements, it's like it's a revelation, like it's never occurred before, and I think somebody's in the pocket of certain lenders because they get their name thrown out as the ones that are really helping people out like crazy, and I get such a kick out of. I guess most of Mike, you and I, or me especially, the older you get, the more cynical you get, because I believe almost nothing I read, hear, or see. You know, we know if it's on the internet, you know that can be true.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Bonjour. So, you know, the whole concept is I hear about this stuff, and it's like, I guess the people that espouse this stuff think everybody out there is stupid. And they make these revelations, and somehow or other, some of the media people go along with it. Now, sometimes I think the media people either are stupid, or they're getting paid to look stupid, or they're getting paid to be stupid.
Well, you know, most of the people that are in the media are probably pretty big income earners.
You think?
Yes. So, you know, they're not buying houses that maybe you and I would be buying.
Yeah,
they're buying
million dollar houses.
Yeah, multi-million dollar houses. And when you're getting mortgages and financing for those types of properties, they are a bit harder to qualify for. You have to put a larger down payment. They're a little bit more scrutinizing with the credit scores and looking at how your income is earned. So those types of purchases may require 20% down, 30% down, even 40% down, where, you know, if you're buying a typical home, and a typical home I would define
500, 300.
Is, yeah, anything between, you know, 150 is to 250 is pretty average for this area.
Right.
You know, there's 3% down programs for that. We've discussed this program many times, the USDA Rural Development Program. That's 100% financing where no down payment's required at all.
Yep.
You'll never hear that advertised, you know, through the media.
I don't understand that. Why don't they talk about that? Because that helps so many young
people. Because
couples.
It doesn't benefit the media.
Yeah, I guess that's exactly right. You know, you got to think about self-serving. Why would we do anything that's for the people?
Right.
We only do it if it's self-serving, right?
And we do a tremendous amount of those USDA loans. Like I said, it's 100% financing. There's income caps, so it's not meant to finance the extreme high-end home.
Right.
But to the average homeowner or home buyer, you know, you don't have to be a first-time home buyer, but it's a perfect program for that buyer.
Yeah, right. To the average homeowner or home buyer. The reason I'm bringing this up is that when we all listen and hear, and let's face it, there's probably a lot of truth in what we listen and read and hear, but it just seems as though they sensationalize it to make it sound like it's a brand new revelation rather than something that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, and you know, I had a gentleman you know, I had mentioned the USDA program to a gentleman. He said, oh, here they go again. They're going to do all these crazy financing, 100% down, 100% financing. And most people don't know. That program's been around for like 20 years.
Yeah.
We've been doing those loans for quite some time, way before the recession hit, way before the mortgage debacle hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are good performing loans.
But here's what happens with people, when, in defense of this guy, he was saying, if you fog a mirror, you could get a mortgage because there was really no qualification. Well, those programs always had qualifications. They weren't fog a mirror type programs.
Exactly. We've always verified their income, verified their assets, their employment. You know, some of these limited or no doc loans that we, you know, that were being done, you know, 8 years ago, nine years ago. Yeah, you basically put a mirror up to them and see if it fogged and or took their pulse and see if they had a pulse, they got a loan.
Yeah.
And that wasn't right. The right thing to do.
Well, the key was a lot of those people, even if they kept their jobs and everything stayed right, really still couldn't afford them. They didn't qualify because they couldn't afford to make the payment.
Well, you have to remember, too, we went through a terrible, terrible recession where many people, millions of people lost their jobs or reduced their income, lost a wage earner, you know, during that recession. You know, people just couldn't afford to make those payments a lot of times.
Technically, I think we might, a lot of people might think we're still in it.
Yeah, but it is much better.
It's got much better.
And, you know, we've been truly blessed over these last couple of years. I mean, I never want to go back to 2008 and 2009 because it was a very difficult time.
First of all, the real estate market is extremely strong right now, especially in Martin and St. Lucie County, and I'm sure most of the rest of the state. It's done a rebound. But here's another thing I heard, which is totally untrue. This one politician or somebody came up and said, home prices now are at the highest level in history. And I'm thinking, where you been? weren't you here just in 08?
Well, we did make up a lot of lost ground. And I think what they're looking at is over the last couple of years, home prices have risen significantly.
Yeah.
But they should have because they fell so far.
But they still, you know, to me, when houses are at the highest level ever, it's based on new construction costs. Construction costs add up the land, the permitting, the materials, and the labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you put those four elements together, that's going to really control. And then there's a profit element, obviously, put in there. So if you work on a normal margin, a house is going to cost X dollars per square foot, and that's just the way we always did it. Back years and years ago, when I used to build stuff, and this is going back a few years, $32 a square foot was our price. Is this a few years ago, Mike?
This was quite a few years
ago. A few years ago.
Were you making them out of like canvas?
Yeah. But the point is, that was the going price when we were building. Now, I'm talking back in the 70s, you know, with that. But understand this, too. When I first moved to Florida in 1976, after the 74-75 recession, the banks owned most of the state of Florida. When I say the banks, because they made these bad loans, and just as though they did this time, but they didn't make them to consumers. They made them to developers.
Yeah, like General Development.
Like General Development was one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the banks ended up taking all of these properties back. So we were selling condominiums for $13,000, $14,000, $15,000,
$16,000.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
And we were concerned that they might be overpriced at the time. And then interest rates were not anywhere near what they are today, but they were in a 7, 8, 9%, you know, which was considered very, very good at that time.
Mm-hmm.
1-888-221-8990. So if anybody has questions today to do with mortgages, today's a really good day because Mike Polis is here. If you have questions doing your finances, meaning IRAs, 401ks, 457s, 403bs, there's lots and lots of letters and numbers, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But in fact, I've had a couple of clients in the last week were talking to me about gold and silver. I heard, I believe, a scam commercial that said, you now can buy physical gold in your IRA and hide it under your bed. It didn't say you could hide it under your bed, but if you could take it
and physically have it
and put it in an IRA.
No.
But I listened. This was a commercial on some media, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this is some. See, the media doesn't care what people say. As long as they pay the bill to run the ad, ad doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth.
Do they pay it in gold and silver?
Yeah, right. So, in fact, I had a lady I talked to the other day that asked me about that, and I said, no. See, the IRS says if you take money out of your IRA, whoever is holding that money, which is normally called a custodian, mm-hmm. Will report it to the IRS, and they'll give you a 1099. So the odds of you being able to buy a chunk of gold in a bar and put it in your under your mattress.
But you can invest in gold in other forms, though,
not in holding in your hand. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But there's normally what is called a custodian. That is, so let's just say it's a mutual fund or a stock firm or a gold somebody. There's ETFs. There's all kinds of vehicles that gold can be in. Mm-hmm. So you buy shares in that, and literally it can parallel exactly what the price of gold is every day. So if the price of gold goes up a little bit or down a little bit, your share prices will go up and down. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly normal.
Right. And that's how you would hold it in a retirement account.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you want to hold real gold in a chunk and put it under your mattress, mm-hmm. if you take money out of your retirement account, the IRS is going to say, okay, that's a cash dispersal. You're going to pay, you're subject to tax on that money, because mm-hmm. you can't take money out of an IRA account without the custodian telling the IRS that you took the money out.
Right.
So that's just a normal thing. Now, just a minor thing. Let me talk about IRAs just for a second, or a 401k. Most people that have such vehicles, they earn money, and they're allowed to take and put a certain amount of money every year into this account, and that money they don't pay tax on. It's now tax deferred. Mm-hmm. That's called a traditional IRA, or a 401k, or a 403b, or could be a 457, could be all kinds of numbers. Not a Roth. We'll go there in a minute.
Or a SEP.
Yeah. Well, a SEP is the same rules. You put money into it and you don't pay tax on it.
Mm-hmm. But it's for self-employed individuals.
Yeah. The difference
is the figures are significantly more that you can put into that.
The amount of money that you can put into each one of these different programs varies based on the rules of those different programs. And what Mike was saying, if you're a self-employed one-person company, you might be able to put $15,000, $20,000, maybe even more into a retirement plan. Because you don't have employees. Because if you have employees, you have to do the same thing for them under normal guidelines mm-hmm. if you do that. So, but here's the rules. Rules are you put that money into these programs, and if you touch it or take it out prior to age 59 and one half, you not only have to pay whatever the taxes are based on your ordinary income rate, but you have a 10% penalty.
Ouch.
So I very often, when I look at a young person, I get worried about them trying to start these retirement plans before they've had children, buy a house, because not always, but very often, this young couple, all of a sudden, they decide to buy a house and they need cash, and they've got the money in an IRA, and they cash it in, and they pay tax and a penalty.
But there are some loopholes in that, where you can liquidate some of your retirement monies for the purchase of, say, a house.
Go into a Roth. The answer is yes, but not a traditional. But you can borrow money out of a 401k, mm-hmm. but it's a borrow, and now you have a loan and you have to pay it back. If you don't pay it back, it's a taxable consequence, and you're going to pay tax and penalty. Mm-hmm. So yes, the rules vary from point to point, but 90% of the people that start these accounts forget the rules, and the only time the rules come into place is when all of a sudden they get the sharp stick in the eye and they find out the hard way that this is something or a calamity occurs, like losing a job, or they have twins or triplets all of a sudden instead of one kid, and they cost more money, so they need more cash, and they lost that two income. Various things happen. So mm-hmm. very often when I counsel young people about saving for retirement, I am very cautious, unless they already own a house and they've already had two or three kids and are not going to have any more children, and they're both in a solid position jobs, then it starts to make more sense. It starts to make more sense. But other than that, I worry about them going through this double whammy, tax and penalty. Anyway, so anybody has questions on IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, whammy, tax and penalty. Anyway, anybody has agencies? They have almost always the rules are the same, but they decide they could make a different number for it just because it sounds good, you know. But
they could print a different form.
That's it. However, a Roth IRA, and most people have heard that name, says, okay, you put money into it while you're working, and there's no tax deduction. And most people, when you take the money out down the road, not only the money you put in, but all the growth, interest, dividends, stock value, whatever it might be, 100% of it's tax-free. So
you put taxable money into the Roth, yep, and then it grows tax-free.
Yes. So literally, let's say you put $100,000 in over a period of years, and now it's worth $500,000. That's a nice, wonderful scenario. Mm-hmm. And you say, hey, I want the whole $500,000 in one check, and you're over 59 and one half. You take it out, tax-free.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, I think that's a good idea if you're in a low tax bracket now.
It's a real good idea if you're in a low tax bracket now. And the other side of the coin, it sounds real good to a lot of people thinking they're going to have this money tax-free later. But my concern is, are you going to be making more money retired than you are working?
That's why I said it's better if you're in a low tax bracket now, but probably when you're retired, you're in a lower tax bracket then.
Even lower.
Yeah, so you're probably better off in a traditional IRA.
See, and when I look at people and say, what are your job? What kind of money are you earning? And if you're making $100,000 a year between the two of you, you're better off to go into a traditional or setup. If you're self-employed, you can go into some programs to not pay tax on the money now. And when you get old, and now you're going to take the money out retire, but you're not working, your tax bracket is considerably lower.
Well, another thing too is I know what my tax bracket is now.
Yeah.
And I know how much that's going to save me by putting my money into a traditional IRA.
Exactly.
Where I don't know what my tax situation is going to be when I retire.
No. But the odds are good unless you got really, really lucky and are making really good money while you're working, and you can put it into some really solid, good investments that are really generating a lot of money.
Well, it's a good thing I like my job because I'll be working forever.
That's where I was going with that. So the concept is, yes, we have to look at all of these things and look at the goal, look at where we're going to go, and try to do the right thing. Now, you know, try is the magic word, because if everybody is that's alive for any period of time knows that best laid plans of mice and men don't always work out.
Well, I do much the same in my business, Joe, because when people come in, I try to analyze what their future plans are going to
right.
be. If you come to me and you're 25 years old and you're buying a house, well, a 30-year mortgage is probably not a bad thing. But if you're closer to 50, maybe you ought to consider a shorter term loan, maybe a 15 years, because someday you're going to want to retire.
And the concept is most people like to have a paid-off house. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a bad thing, which leads me into a reverse mortgage.
Yeah, and then as soon as things are paid off, now we're going to talk to people about getting a new mortgage.
However, you don't even have to have it paid off if you're old.
No, exactly. A reverse mortgage is the most versatile mortgage out there.
Right. I love it.
Yeah, you can use most people don't even know this, Joe. You can use a reverse mortgage to make a purchase of a house.
Yep.
So if you are buying a $200,000 purchase and, you're maybe 65, 70 years old, you might qualify for, say, a 50% loan to value on that
reverse mortgage.
And so on a $200,000 house, you may only have to put in $100,000. And reap the same rewards. You won't have any mortgage payments with a reverse mortgage.
So literally that $100,000 loan, there's no payments.
There's no payments. Now, there is interest. Interest will accumulate, right?
Yeah.
But you won't have to make payments on that until you pass along and the house eventually gets sold.
Now, what happens is, literally, folks, let's just say you do that, and let's just take Mike's example. You're 70 years old. You put $100,000 down. You buy the house for $200,000. You owe $100,000. And let's say the interest rate's 5%, so that's $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to accumulate an interest. Well, if you take a $200,000 house that appreciates at 5% a year, that's $10,000.
Even if it appreciates it?
At 4 or 3.
Yeah, 3.
So literally, it's probably going to be at worst, given normal circumstances, isn't this the wonderful scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we look at the history of real estate, when you could buy a house, like I was selling condos for 13, 14, 15, 16,000, I mean, I bought houses in my life. I bought two that cost me less than $15,000. That's because I'm old and I bought them a long time ago. Well, but a lot of people bought houses in neighborhoods in New York, especially, for 15, 20, or 30,000, and ended up selling them for 400 or 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up with this tremendous amount of cash just because of long-term growth and supply and demand and inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Add the three things together. So there's all kinds of things we look at, but the reverse mortgage, And I hear controversy, and every time I hear controversy about them, what's the agenda of the person stirring the pot, making it look bad?
No, people just don't understand them. You know, they're most people think that you get a reverse mortgage, you don't make any payments at all. Well, right. You're still obligated to pay your taxes and your insurance.
And you have to maintain the property.
And you have to maintain the property. But if you own that property without a reverse mortgage, if you owned it free and clear, or even if you had a forward mortgage, you'd still have to pay your taxes and insurance and maintain the property.
Right.
So what this is doing is eliminating the principal and interest payment that you would normally have to make.
The other side of the coin is now all of a sudden you decide to die, and let's just say you took that $100,000 mortgage out and you bought the house for $200,000 and now it's worth $300,000 and you owe $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids sell it. They get $150,000 because that's the profit, or they pay off the mortgage themselves, refinance it, move into the house, do whatever they want. They've just got to satisfy that loan.
Yeah, that's the biggest objection I get with seniors when I talk to them about reverse mortgages. They want to leave their children something.
Right.
And if you talk to the children, most of them,
they don't care.
They don't care. They don't want the house.
But parents, they want to leave money.
They want to leave a legacy, and I understand that, but this doesn't prohibit them from doing
that.
Right. It's just maybe they'll be giving them a little bit less because you're borrowing some of the equity on the property.
Exactly. And I've had retirees, clients of mine, and I said, hey, look, so you're going to get a check for $100,000 and you're worried about your kids getting money. Are you really worried about that? You now can take them on a cruise. You now can give them $5,000 and a Christmas present.
Well,
you've got things that you can do today while you're alive.
Right.
Maybe you can help your grandkids go to college. Things that you'd have to be dead otherwise.
Yeah, and you don't have to spend all that money.
No.
You can take that money. You could leave it in equity in the house because most of the
otherwise.
Yeah, and you don't have to spend all that money. You can take that money. You could leave it in equity in the house because take the line of credit with a reverse mortgage. That line of credit will grow normally at 4% a year.
Yeah.
So if you take a reverse mortgage out, a line of credit for $100,000 on your house, if you don't use any of it, guess what? And that $100,000 is now worth $104,000 next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your unused portion of your equity line grows 4% a year.
It's a wonderful program, and I've seen such wonderful things happen to people. I had the best example that I ever saw was a lady up in Fort Pierce. She's obviously an old lady in her 80s. She had lived in this house her entire life, or most all of it. It was paid for. And she'd never had air conditioning. She just is
in Florida.
In Florida.
Wow.
Sweating, 9 months out of the year. And this, you know, this is not a wealthy person by any stretch. And she couldn't afford a mortgage payment. But she got a reverse mortgage and got central air put in that house.
Yeah, God bless her.
I'm telling you. And the smile on her face was just, you can't put into words the joy you get of watching something work so well for somebody, just changed their life so dramatically.
It's truly a wonderful program. Now, again, it's not for everybody.
No.
You know, but I've seen it help so many people.
Yeah.
You know, I had a situation where a gentleman lost his wife, and they had a house down in Miami. Well, half of his income was gone overnight. He couldn't afford the mortgage payment, couldn't afford all the bills, had to file bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, filed the bankruptcy, but he had some retirement funds set aside, and that was protected in the bankruptcy. So he thought he was going to come up and buy a small $50,000 condo or maybe get this horrific loan for 13, 14%.
Right.
But he qualified for a reverse mortgage because we really don't care too much about the credit because you're never going to pay this loan back. There's
exactly.
No payments to be
exactly.
made. So instantly, in literally 2 months after the bankruptcy, got him a reverse mortgage, got a great interest rate, probably 4.5%, I think, at the time. And he decided that he was going to make payments on this reverse mortgage.
He can.
You can pay the loan back just like a forward mortgage.
You don't have to, but you can.
Yeah. So that's why I said it's the most versatile mortgage product out there for seniors.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, we've been talking about mortgages. Let's talk about Dan Warren, independent insurance agent.
Yeah. Couldn't find a better insurance agent anywhere.
Period. In my humble opinion and Mike's, he is the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. Now, what's independent mean? If you work for one insurance company, you work for that insurance company. Now, there's not a good companies out there, but if that one particular company says we want no more business, or we're going to cancel half our business, or we're going to triple the premiums on those people, you, the agent, are stuck with that, and you're guilt by association, and it's not a pretty picture. And that happened to a whole bunch of people after Hurricane Andrew hit in 1992. But the independent insurance agent does not work for one insurance company. He works for the client. And Dan, because he's only been in business 37 years, he's an old guy, which I identify with, he now has between 80 and 100 companies inside, under his umbrella. Now, they're not all car or homeowners, but the key is this, and Mike will sit here, and he will tell you, because I'm setting him up to tell you, about some of the sales that have been saved, some purchases for real estate, some mortgages that were saved because of Dan Warren.
Sure. You know, when people come to me and qualify for a mortgage, they always want to know, well, how much of a loan amount can I qualify for? But the truth is, we really don't qualify you for a loan amount. We qualify you for a mortgage payment.
Right.
Because it's all predicated on a debt ratio. Well, part of your payment is your insurance, your homeowner's insurance on the...
And your taxes.
Right, and your taxes. So if you have a high insurance payment or premium, that could affect your ability to qualify for the mortgage, because it increases your payment. Well, on numerous occasions, I've sent customers to Dan, and then he's been able to get them a super low premium. And then, therefore, they saved the deal and they were able to qualify for the loan.
I mean, let's say they're assuming an existing insurance policy and the premium is $2,000 a year, which means $170 a month or some figure like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if Dan could get it down to $1,500 a year, all of a sudden, they could qualify for that particular mortgage.
Oh, yeah. And I've had customers, you know, if they were buying like a manufactured home or a mobile home, where they just couldn't find insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
I've referred them to Dan, and Dan was able to find them not only an insurance policy, but he found them a very competitive price policy.
What happens is, when you have the power of being the premier agent, every good company out there wants to do business with him because he's got the great reputation. And when you're, you know, and that's what happens. It's a business that's really based on how many years you're in business, what your reputation is. All these companies behind the scenes all know each other. I mean, there's no big secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, Silverback is back.
Hey, we had a caller that wanted to ask a question about how old you had to be to qualify for that program.
62 for the reverse mortgage.
And see,
that's one of the only mortgage programs where we can discriminate due to age. And in this case, the older you are, the more we'll lend you on the property.
It's a strange phenomenon, but it pays to get old for a reverse mortgage.
Yes.
So if you're 80, you can get more percentage-wise out of the house than if you're 62.
Yeah, and it's all based on life insurance annuity tables, because if you're 80, you're going to have this loan out shorter period than if you were 60.
In 62. Theory, unless you get run over by a truck.
Yeah, I mean, this
point is, they're looking at law of averages, right? You know, like you said, insurance tables that say when you're 80, you're supposed to live to be 100. When you're 70, you're supposed to live to be 90, or whatever the numbers are.
Right.
It's all in a table. 1-888-221-8990. So what Dan has been able to do for people is phenomenal. In fact, my girl Nikki, that runs my office, first-time homebuyer. Now, you know, when you're a first-time homebuyer, you know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't. There's no courses on this stuff. So she goes out and she's shopping. And I said, call Dan. Now, first of all, her realtor says, hey, don't do that until a certain date. And I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Do that now so you know what the story is.
Sure.
So Dan gets her a price, and then her father said, hey, you can't trust one guy. This is a good father, protecting his daughter. Got to go to two other people. So she went to two other people, and one says, we can't insure you at all, period. House is too old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so much for that one. Second one said, Citizens, we're going to go straight to the state pool.
No, jeez.
I mean, that was just it, but this is not abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Very good.
Hey, I got one question on the reverse mortgage.
Go ahead.
Do you have to own your house?
Yes.
Yes.
But you can buy it.
You can buy, yeah, you can use a reverse mortgage to purchase it. Now, you have to put a large down payment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was under the impression that sometimes you don't have to own your house as long as you get out the age.
One, you got to be at least 62. You don't have to own it free and clear, but let's say your house is worth $100,000 and you owe $50,000. you could probably get a reverse mortgage that would pay off that $50,000, and you wouldn't have any payments to make.
But you probably wouldn't walk away with any money.
You may not put any money in your pocket. But the bottom line is, what happens is there's a formula, and once you put these things into the hat, meaning how old you are, the value of the house, and how much you owe,
right,
we can come back and say, okay, here's what you qualify for.
Right. Now, if you don't own a house now, but let's say you were purchasing a house for $100,000, based on your age, you might be able to, say, put 50% of that down, and we would give you a reverse mortgage for the other $50,000.
Make sense?
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Whoop, I think, do we have another phone call?
I think we do.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. I was calling to ask a question about retirement account.
Sure.
I kind of missed some of the information. Like, I don't know if I need to give you my age or something.
Well, no. Basically this, are you working right now?
I'm working, yes.
Okay, and are you saving money in a retirement account now or no?
I've got 3 retirement accounts.
I guess you are then. Do you have one through work called a 401k?
Yes, I do, and 2 individual.
Okay.
2 Roth.
Now, are you one of those for you, one for your husband?
No, they're both for me. Both Roths are mine.
Okay. Now, what happens is there is a formula based on how much you make and how much money goes into that 401k, and then how much money you can put into that Roth. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just say that you don't have the 401k and you're under age 50. You can put $5,500 a year into this Roth IRA. And if you're over age 50, you can put $6,500 in it. But if you have a 401k at work and you put X, and I can't give you the exact figure, into that, you're not allowed to put the whole $5,500 or $6,500 into these other accounts.
Really?
Yeah. Now, it depends how much money goes into that 401k. What I can do, you left your name and number. I can get you exact formulas so you know them, and let you know if you're complying with the rules or not. And the weird thing is, and I'm not sure how the IRS governs all this stuff, but if you ever got audited and you found out you put too much in, they'd be upset. You know how that works.
Yeah.
So you really, it doesn't hurt to know what these rules are. So, because the government doesn't care ignorance, they don't care if you don't know. They just want you to follow the rules.
Well, I thought saving for your retirement so you don't like have to live on Social Security maybe would be a good thing, but apparently it's not.
Yeah,
well,
but the IRS wants their taxes too.
See, what you got to figure, the IRS, they want their money. I don't care how it works. So what they do is this. See, now let's just say you are self-employed, you work all by yourself. You can probably put up to $20,000 a year aside in a retirement account.
I think that number is like $55,000.
Maybe
I think it's 25% of your income.
Okay, so they have different rules. But if you work for a company, when it's a 401k, they have a whole different set of rules that only allow you to put so much money aside.
I think it's like 10, isn't it?
10 or 15,000 a year, whatever the number is. They every one of these little programs has rules, and 90% of us don't know exactly what they are. It really depends on 3 things. More than anything is how much money you earn. That is the common denominator that says how much you can put in and how much you can't put into each one. And the other rule is if you have a company-sponsored retirement plan, which is called a 401k, and they match, and you put in the most you can and you put in excess over and above that, you may be limited to what you can put into a Roth or another traditional IRA.
Okay.
But I'll find out what they are for you, and we've got your number, and we can talk about it off the air once we ask a few questions to figure it out.
Oh, you have me on caller ID?
No, but didn't Pastor Tom take your phone number and your name when you called?
No, he did not.
He's slipping.
Boy, is he slipping. Then here's what we're going to do.
Call back?
Here's what, can you call back the same number, and Pastor Tom will take it and tell him to do his job and tell him to write your name and phone number down and to have me call you tomorrow.
And may I have your name, because I didn't get that either.
And I'm Joe.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, boy, Pastor Tom's slipping out there, you know, the old silverback. Is he hiding out there in the front? Anyway, what happens, the government has these different rules depending. So what you have to do, you don't want to violate the rules, because if they come back 10 years later and say you overfunded, you did this and you took a tax deduction or you did something, they may charge you interest and penalty back. And so you best just to know what they are.
Yeah, I think with a 401k, it's $18,000 a year for 2016 and $24,000 if you're over 50.
There you go.
For a 401k.
So that's a 401k. That's the max amount of money can be contributed. Now, that's by both parties.
That I'm not sure. Max, generally participants can, I believe it's a combination, correct?
Yeah. So then, now, there's another guideline that you'd have to go through that says, okay, if I have a 401k and I max it, can I also have an IRA and max that? That's a good no. They put rules.
Yeah,
also, if you make more than $150,000 or $200,000 a year, you're not allowed to have an IRA anyway. You're over and above the cap, but you can have a 401k, or you could have a SEP if you're self-employed.
Yeah,
I mean, tell you folks, this is not simple. But what you do once the formula is set up, meaning who you are, how much money you're making, how old you are, etc. Once we know the formula, then we can come back and say, hey, this is the way it would work for you. 1-888-221-8990. Now, you know, a lot of companies will allow you to contribute money to your 401, not your 401k, but an IRA, and they don't tell you up front that you can only put in $5,500 or $6,500 a year. They just let you keep putting it in, because there are also rollovers. You can roll a 401k into an IRA. It could be $1 million sitting in that account.
And that's not a taxable event. You can transfer that without any tax consequences.
A rollover or a transfer is normally a tax-free event, because you're not putting it in your pocket. You're just making it go from company A to company B, or custodian A to custodian B. As long as you don't put it in your pocket, there's not a tax consequence. Now, there's some wrinkles there, too, that we're not going to get into. But the bottom line is, there's rules that are set up. And once you know the rules, then, you know, you're not going to get yourself in any trouble down the road.
Right. Now, we talked about Dan Warren.
Yes.
Mike Paulus.
I remember him.
And who else should we talk about?
Let's talk Victoria Lloyd.
Remember her? Hardest working realtor in Martin County or St. Lucie?
Maybe the world.
On the Treasure Coast.
Maybe the world. I mean, quite honestly, the girl only has two speeds. She's either working or sleeping.
Yes.
I mean,
I don't think she sleeps that much.
I don't think so either. In fact, we kind of joke, because some years ago when Mike had just met Victoria, not too long, and Mike's married man with kids and all that, he gets this text at 3:00 in the morning. And his wife said, "Who's that?"
"It's Jake from State Farm."
"Jake from State Farm." And it was the normal conversation was, but Victoria, she wakes up and she's got something on her mind. She just does it.
Yeah.
And the other side, she is, when she tells you she's going to call you, I don't care if she's in Egypt.
Yeah, she's going to call.
She's going to call you.
Yeah, she has the motor home with Lenny, and they took a vacation up in Canada.
Right.
And she would be constantly texting me. I said, "Victoria, I thought you were on vacation." And she said, "Well, that's part of her vacation. She works all the time."
My daughter and
on vacation.
What is this? We got 5 minutes. Are you sure? Can you count, daughter? At your age?
Well, maybe you've only got 30 seconds. How's that? You've got 5 minutes, Joe.
1-888-221-8990. So then we have Vince Rosino, CPA.
Forensic CPA.
Forensic, and used to teach college. I mean, Vince is, and forensic means he's an expert witness recognized by the court system. And where Vince really shines, especially if you're starting a new business or closing a business, this is one of the first people you should be talking to make sure you don't get stung by unnecessary taxes.
One of the most knowledgeable guys I know.
Absolutely. Now, do we know anybody else in the group?
No. Oh, how about
Greg Fasula, attorney. You know,
how can we forget about Greg?
You can't. You can, because he's a liberal. You know, he's not a communist.
But no, one of the nicest guys I know.
He may be the only attorney in the world. In fact, he is the only attorney in the world that I know personally I'd like to have as a next door neighbor, because he's actually a nice guy. He's not pretentious. He's not arrogant. He's a good listener. Just a flat good
guy. I got a funny story about Greg, because I referred one of my customers to Greg, and it was a good customer of mine, and they purchased a house, and they wanted to, you know, put it in a trust.
Right.
So they paid a legal assistant about, I think he charged them like almost $1,000 to start a trust. Set all the trust up and everything. Never told him they had to transfer the assets into the trust.
Oh, boy.
So I sent him immediately to Greg, and Greg helped him out, you know, just for free.
Point is, Greg's a good guy. He's going to help people, and that's what he does. And I think that's what we've tried to do in our group, is help people. And it's been a very, very, very gratifying experience to help people. And and occasionally we actually get paid to help people.
Imagine that.
It's hard to be a philanthropist without money. Let me just talk quickly about some investments that I lean on heavily today, because those of you that are watching what's happening to the stock market for the last 2 years have known that it's not been all that good. And in fact, it's flat as a pancake. If nothing, it just can't seem to make anything. So it's been pretty stagnant. And some portions of it have lost 20 and 30%.
Well, it cracks me up how they're talking about this big rally we're in, but they forget to mention that at the beginning of this year, it went down almost 20%.
Yeah. And besides, it was from 2-3 years ago, it still hasn't gotten back to where it was. In the meantime, what I've been espousing to people is debt instruments that are paying 5 and 6% interest, where you can get a check every 3 months, and we're not in common stock. These are one of the biggest companies, household names, utilities, and these are debt instruments. That means like a note, car note, house note. So what they do is they say, hey, you loan us the money, we will pay you an interest rate, and at any time you want, you can sell these things and be out of them.
And it doesn't have the volatility of the market.
Because you're not owning stock in the company. Mm-hmm. You own a debt instrument, which could be a note, a debenture, or preferred. They have different words. But the bottom line is, because it's a debt instrument, you don't have an ownership in the company. What the company does, making, losing money, whatever it might be, these things are not in the same vein.
You know what I love about this is, even if the value does go down, which they rarely do, it still produces income.
Yeah. So you're going
to keep on holding to it?
I've got one right now that's paying 6.5% interest, that as long as we own it this week, it pays the middle of the month 3 months worth of interest.
That's phenomenal.
I mean, it is. I've often said, folks like being Catholic, don't ask questions, you just are one, because this pays 1.75% interest in the next 2 weeks, which is more than you'd get in a whole year in any bank.
Yes.
And you only have to own it for this next week or so.
Great investment.
They really are. I love these things. Anybody that wants information on that, you call Pastor Tom, 888-221-8990, 888-221-8990, and we'll get you information on these things. It's a great place to park money, making a fiver. I've got a lot of retired clients that this is all they've got because they want to have secure income.
Well, after this month, the Fed's going to raise the rates.
Yeah,
they might make an extra quarter.
You never know. All right, folks. Pastor Tom is counting down. Do you have your toes out too, or just your fingers? I guess we're supposed to say goodbye. Until next week, thank you so much.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.